Pleasant good morning to each of you. I'm glad that you're here this morning. It's always a pleasure to gather with the saints. If you're visiting with us, we're glad you're here. And I hope that the lesson will be of profit to you. Most young people don't think about growing old, which I think is understandable, for they don't yet have any experience of the realities of growing older in the sense of declining physical strength, perhaps declining mental capabilities that are common for many. For those who are younger, getting older has always been about getting better as they draw closer to physical maturity and the peak of their maturity. If they talk about growing old, it is often with disdain. For many people who spend their golden years discontented with life, set in their ways, bitter toward other people, and just seem to be angry a lot. So many young people say, I'm never going to be like that when I get old. Growing old gracefully does not happen by accident. Unless we apply principles in our life while we're young, the chances are very great that we will become the elderly that many people despise. I easily recognize I am too young to speak well about this topic. Many in our congregation would still say, I'm young, and I would say, amen. I agree with you completely. Nevertheless, I feel this subject is important. How are you spending the first half of your life? Will you grow old gracefully? Some biblical examples, I think, are in order. In Genesis chapter 13, it records that there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram and the herdsmen of his nephew Lot. In verse 8 of Genesis 13, Abram says to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, nor between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If to the left, then I will go to the right. If to the right, then I will go to the left. I think many people would have expected the older person would have said, I'm going to go this way, you go the other. But he's very gracious in his attitude about this. A great kindness and consideration from Abram. I would also point to 2 Timothy chapter 4, where Paul, the apostle, speaks of his facing death. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 6, he says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. In their future there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. He has a great perspective toward the end of his life. I think we would all look to the things that are recorded in Scripture to us about Peter. And we would say he seemed to be brash and impulsive in his youth. But I believe he aged gracefully. 1 Peter chapter 5 in the first two verses mentions that he had become an elder. I believe he would have had to have met the qualifications of an elder. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 13, look at his diligence in his later years. I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by way of reminder, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent, as also our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. And I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. And there's lessons there for those who are older to have diligence to keep teaching the younger to preserve the truth of God. Peter was publicly rebuked by the Apostle Paul in Galatians chapter 2 and 11. Yet later in his life, in 2 Peter 3 and verse 15, he refers to Paul as our beloved brother. In addition to biblical examples, we could all point to living examples of some who have grown old gracefully. I've been blessed to know a number of people of this sort that have influenced my life in a good way. I do believe it's possible for us to be an older person who is possessing of grace and wisdom. And when it does occur, it is beautiful to behold. Look with me in Galatians chapter 6 for our second point for the lesson today. I want to look at some of the principles that we all need to be able to grow old gracefully. He says, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life." Reaping what we sow is true in every aspect of our life. Certainly in relation to crops. But if I take good care of my body, I'm likely to enjoy good health. If I discard healthy habits, the body's going to suffer. We understand these principles. But it's especially true in the spiritual realm. Job chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "Even as I have seen those who plow iniquity and sow trouble, reap the same." We understand this principle in all aspects of our life. Much of the bitterness, discontent, and anger that characterizes some older people, I have to believe, is the result of sowing to the flesh. The works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19 are recorded for us as immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that is contrasted to the things we should be sowing and hoping to reap with the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How much better for us to do as it says in Hosea 10 and verse 12, "Sow with a view to righteousness. Reap in accordance with kindness." There's some words to ponder for us every day. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." He's quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. The concept of bread alone, I think, includes all kinds of things about material things in this life. And living in this passage is more than just simple continued existence, but living life to the fullest sense, as in an abundant kind of life. We have to realize that we don't find the good life in seeking and acquiring the material things. And that statement by itself sounds incredibly un-American, because that's what is promoted in our society and believed as being what makes a good life. Luke chapter 12 and verse 15, Jesus says, "Not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." If we don't learn this while young, we're going to waste a large portion of our life pursuing the wrong things and likely hate ourselves for it when we face the door of death. Solomon came to this realization in Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2, and beginning in verse 17, Scripture says, I hated life, for the work which had been done under the sun was grievous to me, because everything is futility and striving after wind. Thus I hated all the fruit of my labor for which I had labored under the sun, for I must leave it to the man who will come after me. And who knows whether he will be a wise man or a fool? Yet he will have control over all the fruit of my labor for which I've labored by acting wisely under the sun. This too is vanity. Therefore, I am completely despaired of all the fruit of my labor for which I've labored under the sun. When there is a man who has labored with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, then he gives his legacy to one who has not labored with him. This too is vanity and a great evil. For what does a man get in all his labor and his striving with which he labors under the sun? Because all his days his task is painful and grievous. Even at night his mind does not rest. This too is vanity. There's more to life than the material possessions. To grow old gracefully, we have to realize this and find out, what is it that makes life abundant? What is it that makes life rich and sweet? Jesus came to help us. In John 10 and in verse 10, it says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. He is the true and the living way, John 14 and verse 6. God has not promised us great wealth and riches in this life. He's not promised us an abundance of possessions. That's not what Jesus meant by having life abundantly. Life doesn't consist of those things. But what life does consist of, that's where we can have the abundance. Jesus shows us how to really live. He is the life. What a shame to go through life only to find at last that our labors were of no lasting value. All the things that we worked so hard for. Luke 9 and verse 25 says, what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? In Luke chapter 12 and in verse 51, Luke 12 and verse 15, it says to beware and be on your guard against every form of greed. For not even when one has an abundance of his life, when he has an abundance, does his life consist of his possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, the land of a rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no place to store my crops? Then he said, this is what I will do. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and all my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. This very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So is the man who stores up treasure for himself but is not rich toward God. There's the abundance that we can have in Christ. Being rich toward God. Scripture tells us, blessed is the man who finds wisdom. Blessed means happy or rich. Wisdom is knowledge applied. We have to see the value of wisdom and desire it. In the Proverbs chapter 3 and in verse 13, it says, "How blessed is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gain better than fine gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who hold her fast." All of the language in this about her is about wisdom. Just to be clear on that. Personification of wisdom. Ephesians 5 and verse 15 says, "Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil." Are we making the most of our time? Or are we waiting until we're older to effect changes in our life that we know we need to make? Our time is short. James 4 and 14 says, "You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You're just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away." And those who have reached a state of being older would all very quickly agree with that statement. Life goes by fast. Wisdom helps us utilize to the fullest the life that we have, instead of wasting our time. Wisdom can be acquired in two ways, as I understand it. The first is through personal experience. I can hit my hand with my hammer only so many times before I gain the knowledge and understanding to not hit my hand with a hammer, and I'm now wise. Experience will teach us wisdom. But it's often a time-consuming way to gain wisdom. You spend a lot of your life in trial and error, repeating the same mistakes made by others, or even mistakes that you have made again, before we learn. And additionally, we have to bear the consequences of our errors. We're going to reap what we sow. A second and far better way to gain wisdom is from God, from His Word. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6 says, "The Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding." I've already said wisdom is knowledge applied. God gives us the knowledge and the understanding, and all I have to do is apply that in my life, and I'm wise. Isn't that amazing? It's a wonderful thing. What better source than from God, who by His wisdom has created all things? Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 19 says, "The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the deeps were broken up and the skies dripped with dew." Certainly, we believe God can give knowledge and understanding so that we can be wise in application. But then the question is, have I learned what God has said? Do I have that knowledge? Do I have that understanding? And secondly, am I applying it in my life? Having this wisdom will be especially true and obvious when we apply it at an early age. Someone who is, as we say, wise beyond their years. Because they didn't get the knowledge from trial and error. It was given to them by God. Our journey through life is going to be more pleasant and more graceful when we understand and apply God's knowledge and understanding. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 21 says, "My son, let them not vanish from your sight. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, so they will be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk in your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden fear, nor of the onslaught of the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught." Man, if that passage doesn't want to make you want to go get some of that wisdom, then you've just never had a week of restless nights before, struggling with the wickedness that's come upon you and fought in those things. We can get a head start and soon pass those who would only learn through trial and error. In the Psalms, chapter 119 is marvelous in its length, but also marvelous in its content. Psalm 119 and verse 97 says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts." Paul even tells the young evangelist Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15 that from childhood you have known the sacred writings, which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. With the wisdom found in God's Word, it is absolutely possible for us to grow old gracefully. For it's there we learn to avoid the needless suffering that's experienced through the trial and error of trying to gain wisdom. The true purpose of life is not found in the material things, but in that which God has offered us in Christ. To help us apply these principles, I want to offer a few practical steps that are based on Paul's exhortations to the preacher Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, we're going to see the first principle. "Let no one look down on your youthfulness, but rather in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourself an example of those who believe." I would kindly say there is no way any of us can avoid being an example to others. You will either be a good example or a bad example. Show yourself to be an example of those who believe. Be the good example. An example of wisdom, not the example of foolishness. Proverbs 14 and verse 18 says, "The naive inherit foolishness, but the sensible are crowned with knowledge." And Ecclesiastes 10 and verse 1 says, "Dead flies make a perfumer's oil stink, so a little foolishness is weightier than wisdom and honor." That little bit of foolishness can destroy all the wisdom and honor you might have. We have to determine that we're going to be an example of those who believe. That's the practical aspect. And that's going to set us on the right track of one who would grow old gracefully. A second practical step is to commit yourself to the Word of God. In 2 Peter 3:18, it tells us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So how hard are we working at growing in the knowledge? Because that's part of what we need to be able to be wise. I need that knowledge and understanding. Growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is all important to us. But I have to commit myself to knowing it and gaining that in my life. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, "Until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and to teaching." This is written to the younger evangelist to be certain that the Word of God is proclaimed. Yet in this principle, we can understand my need to individually give attention to the reading of Scripture, to give attention to the exhortations that come to me and to the teaching that comes to me. Looking at just the other side of what he has taught here. That principle is good for all of us, especially those who are younger, needing to learn and gain knowledge and understanding. In 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth." The young evangelist needed to be able to accurately handle the Word of God, but all of us need to be able to do that. So I need to commit myself to God's Word at a young age, so that when I'm old, I understand a lot more of what God has said. I'll tell you what happens when you do that young. When you get old, you commit yourself even more to God's Word, and you'll spend hours reading and studying. And that's a blessed thing. It's a good thing. But you're never going to reach that point in your life to where you can sit down and study for 5 hours on a subject in Scripture unless you commit yourself to that when you're much younger and see the value of it. Commit yourself to this. Psalm 119:11 says, "Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you." The treasure is ours today. It is in our hands. But the problem is I've got to get it in my heart. Just carrying this around is not going to give me the knowledge and understanding. You have to know God's Word. I'm not referring to memorization. You have to know what God says is right and what God says is wrong. You have to know what God's promises are. You have to know how to pray to Him. You have to know how to praise Him. In times of temptation, you're probably not going to be sitting there with your Bible open. You're likely not even going to have the Bible with you. His Word has to be in your heart. You've got to know in that moment, what does God say? You have to commit yourself to learning and understanding. And only then can you be wise in applying God's Word in your life. So the study of the Bible daily is needed by every believer. And then you need to share what you've learned with others. A third practical step that I would suggest is to cultivate your talents. 1 Timothy 4:14, the Apostle Paul tells the evangelist, "Do not neglect the gift that is in you." And I do believe this is referring to some miraculous spiritual gift that had been given to Timothy. But the principle remains true about non-miraculous gifts that God has given us. I know several people that I would say have a gift from God about friendliness. They make friends quickly with all types of people, and because of this, people will talk to them about almost anything, including religion. I know people who have a gift of speaking succinctly, short phrases, few words, but those words carry meaning and weight. Man, if we could apply that gift to conveying the Word of God to others. Many are very good at serving others. My brother-in-law's funeral was a few weeks ago, and a wonderful group of six women fed 40 members of my family after the funeral. They were gracious, understanding, full of smiles and compassion. I know many with that gift. Can't we see that teaching the gospel to someone else is serving them? We need that heart. There are some who are just great encouragers. It comes to them naturally. They don't have to work hard at encouraging others. They just do it. But when they work to purposefully encourage, man, their impact becomes so strong and influence in the life of others. We can encourage others to obey the gospel by our words and how we live. And I see that some just have a big heart. They seem to just love everyone. There isn't a step of friendship, really. They meet you and they love you. That's where it goes. They want to do what's best for others, and in this way, they put themselves last. This gift is easily allowing a person to go out of their way to teach the gospel to someone else, to sacrifice their own time, their own money, their own sleep, because they love the other person and they want them to obey the gospel. They want them to be saved. Brethren, we're going to reap what we sow. And the degree to which you reap is going to be based on the ability with which you sow. If you want to reap a large harvest of good in this life, develop your talents and use them. My last practical step is to apply diligence in your efforts. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, in verse 15, Paul says, "Take pains with these things. Be absorbed in them so that your progress will be evident to all. Pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things, for as you do them, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you." The New American Standard here says, "Take pains with these things." The King James says, "Meditate upon these things." The Greek in this place means to care for, to attend to something carefully, to practice it, and to meditate. It means both. To think about these things a lot, not just to learn them, but to understand them as what God has given us and how I can use this to the glory of God, applying it in my own life. In Psalm 1 and verse 2, it says, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law He meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and whatever He does, He prospers." And in 1 Peter chapter 4, and in verse 9, 1 Peter 4 and verse 9, it says, "Be hospitable to one another without complaint. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as a good steward of the manifold grace of God. Whoever speaks, he is to do so as one who is speaking the utterances of God. Whoever serves, is to do so as one who is serving by the strength which God supplies, so that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belongs the glory and dominion forever and ever. We need to be absorbed in these things, to be in them, verse 15, to let this engross you entirely, to be fixated on these things. And we can be this way about all sorts of things in this life. We know of the video game addict, right? We know of the sports nut, right? We know of the lady who wants to quilt 14 hours a day, right? We understand what this is telling us. We need to be absorbed in these things. It has to be a large part of who we are every day. Growing old gracefully, like many things, doesn't happen by accident. It takes concentrated effort. And so we must be diligent from a young age and persevere through life in keeping the important things of God important in my life, demonstrated by how I apply God's wisdom. It is a triumph in our older age to be the person with wisdom and understanding, love, being kind and reverent, fixed on the hope of heaven. But those of us who are younger must realize that blessing in old age is only a result of following the wisdom of God throughout my life. A result from understanding at this early age that abundant life is not found in the worldly things. A result of sowing in my life in such a way as to bear fruit and reap a harvest that leads to eternal life. I surely hope that sounds appealing to you. The person who is this way will be like those who are described in Psalm 92 and in verse 12. It says, the righteous man will flourish like the palm tree. He will grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. They will still yield fruit in old age. They shall be full of sap and very green, to declare that the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. Don't you want to be like that? By the grace of God, you can. As a Christian, especially a younger Christian, I encourage you to take this lesson to heart, to apply it in your life now before you grow old. In reality, God never promises that we're going to get to grow old. We don't know how long our life will be. We don't know when the Lord will return. But God tells us how to live now, at whatever age we are. We can be wise now if we give our attention and effort to the Word of God. If you know that you're living in sin as a Christian, a sin that would keep happening, I encourage you to repent and seek God's forgiveness. Then immerse yourself in His Word deeply and contemplate the things that God reveals about how we're supposed to live and about what God says is wise. Work hard to live as God says. We'd be happy to pray with you and to help you, just as we know that you would want to help us. In Christ Jesus, you can become a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17 says. Not like the man of the world. That's possible by the washing of regeneration, Titus 3 verse 5. Referred to again in 1 Peter 3:21 as baptism, which now saves you. Baptism places us in Christ, Galatians 3:27. It's at this point of baptism that our sins are forgiven, Acts 2 and verse 38. And that's when we start our life as a Christian. If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, I encourage you to repent of your sin, to confess Jesus before men, and to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sin. Change the course of your life. Hear the wisdom of Scripture. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved. Mark 16:16. Be saved from this perverse generation. Acts 2 and verse 40. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of truth. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. I would urge you to not delay, because we are not promised tomorrow. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, come forward now as we stand and sing to encourage you.